This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an uplifting devotional message from Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101, a special prayer segment with the Let's Pray team,
and a unique segment on the importance of remembering where we've come from. Join us.
Good morning, friends. Thank you for waking up with hope. We are excited to be here with you and waking up with you.
That's right. On this bright March and almost spring morning, we want to bless you today through our program. And we pray your heart will be filled with the joy and peace of God today.
That's right. You know, it's almost spring. Can you believe it?
Whew, I'm so excited.
And it's Pi Day.
Okay, well, what kind of pie?
Glad you asked. Not apple pie or cherry pie. But Pi Day celebrates a mathematical constant represented by 3.14. You know, the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. But what is special about this number is that it has its own holiday.
Wow, that is very interesting. Pi is a special number because of its infinite and patternless nature. In other words, the number goes on and on, never with the same pattern. It's actually been calculated to over 50 trillion digits beyond its decimal point. It's quite amazing.
Wow. You know, the infinite number of pi reminds us of the eternal infinite nature of God. It's a reminder of the awesomeness of God and our limited knowledge. He is infinite and we are finite.
That's right. And yet, though we are pretty insignificant, compared to our wonderful Creator, He gives us amazing significance, purpose, and meaning. So much so that He sent His only Son to die for us. Amazing love.
Amen. Incredible love. What an incredible God we serve. You know, we can't wait to talk about Him today and the hope that we can find in Him. So let's get started by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On March 14, 1879, Albert Einstein was born, the son of a Jewish electrical engineer in Ulm, Germany. Einstein's theories of special and general relativity drastically altered human understanding of the universe, and his work in particle and energy theory helped make possible quantum mechanics and ultimately the atomic bomb. Einstein was once called the greatest genius that ever lived, even being offered to become the president of Israel, which he declined. But where does true wisdom come from? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. Yet how often do we cause someone else's knowledge to supersede the Word of God? It is true that, even today, leading researchers and professionals develop or reveal some new idea or thought that directly contradicts the Bible. What should we follow and whom should we follow? Friends, in whatever circumstance, we can never go wrong when we follow the clear way of the Lord. As it says in Proverbs 3, about the wisdom that comes from God, all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her.
Do you ever feel like you've forgotten where you came from? Do you often pause to recall how God has led you? Dee Casper from Unseen Media joins us now as he reminds us of the importance of not forgetting where we've come from.
I'd like to share with you some of the best advice that I've received as a Christian. So I was at a conference a few months ago, and I met this guy who's a well-known evangelist, and I asked him, what's the best advice that you would give to somebody like me who's starting an evangelism that you wish you would have received when you began? And what he told me just rocked me and blew my mind. Instead of directly answering my question, he started telling me the story about the man in John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda. He's the most helpless case there. For 38 years, the man has been an invalid. And he's just been neglected and just forgotten by the people. Priests walk by him every day. And when Jesus comes to the man, he asks him, do you want to be made well? I think we know the answer to that one. But then Jesus says something that just seems odd, really. He tells the man to rise, take up his mat, and walk. Now, the rising and the walking makes a whole lot of sense. But why take up the mat? It's just this constant reminder of 38 years of neglect, abandonment, shame, failure. But that's precisely the point. What Jesus is actually telling the man is to not forget where he came from. And I remember when he told me that, that hit me hard. His counsel reminds me of the story of two separate people in the Gospels, and their lives contrast in a unique way, but they actually converge at the feet of Jesus. The first is Simon the leper, a religious leader by trade who contracts leprosy. And this is the scary part, because to the Jews, if you contract leprosy, that means that you're cursed by God. So imagine being a religious leader who's cursed by God. He was then an outcast, couldn't be amongst his people, couldn't even be touched by anyone, had to live separately. But Jesus heals the man and restores his life and his ministry. Mary Magdalene, her story is somewhat similar. She also was an outcast, but because of a lifestyle of sexual sin. And this is something that separates her from the people, but Jesus finds her as well. Heals her. One place we're told that seven demons were cast out of her. This woman's healed of her sordid past, and she's set free. Simon invites Jesus to his house for a meal, and Jesus is the guest of honor. But the focus changes when someone shows up to the house and steals the show, and her name is Mary. She comes to the house uninvited where this feast is happening, and she begins to weep at the feet of Jesus. She wets his feet with her tears, she dries it with her hair, and then pours this oil all over the head and feet of Jesus. The whole house is fragrant with this offering. Simon says if he knew who this was, he would not let this woman touch him like this. And the disciples say that she's basically wasting this. It's a waste of money to give her all for Jesus. She feels terrible, and Jesus says, leave her alone. But here's why I think this matters. In that day, the custom was, when you had a guest, that you were supposed to do these things for Jesus, to wash his feet and to anoint him with oil. For whatever reason, Simon didn't seem to see the need to do this for Jesus. I believe it's because Simon forgot where he came from. He forgot what Jesus delivered him from. But the opposite, I believe, is true for Mary. She remembered where she came from, and that's why she gave everything she had for Jesus. I don't know where you find yourself today. Maybe it's a story of Mary that resonates with you, that you've been giving your all for Jesus, and no one seems to appreciate or understand it around you. Maybe yours is the story of Simon the leper, that you just lost sight of how precious it is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to give him all that you've got. Regardless, here's the beautiful thing. The answer to both situations, to have them and to keep them, is to not forget where you came from.
Now, Livet's Chef Corey is meeting us in the kitchen as he whips up vegan meatballs with Thai curry sauce. Enjoy!
This recipe comes from our very own Loma Linda Cancer Center. Walnuts are high in omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants. Studies have shown walnuts may be good for brain health, heart health, and cancer. These meatballs have a wonderful variety of colors, flavors, and textures. If you have picky eaters in the house, this is a perfect recipe to sneak in an extra veggie. You want them to stick together enough to take shape, but not to be too mushy. Caramelize the red onion with the spices to toast the spices a bit and develop their flavors. A curry sauce is a perfect pair to these nutritious meatballs. Add in a small amount of lime juice as a nice contrast to the sweet coconut milk and pungent spices. Pair with rice, and you have yourself a tasty, nutrient-rich meal.
Vegan meatballs. That looks good.
It does. I can't wait to try that recipe.
All right. Have you tried any of our recipes? If you have, leave us a message on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us know how it turned out for you.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up With Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with the Let's Pray team. Stay with us.
Welcome back, friends. We are being blessed today on Wake Up With Hope. We want to fill your life with the hope found in Jesus.
This morning, the Let's Pray team is with us for prayer. The Let's Pray team has the privilege of teaching and encouraging others that there is power in prayer. We are blessed to have them here with us this morning.
Well, good morning, friends. I know you're waking up with hope, and I am glad to be able to spend a little bit of time in prayer with you. You know, as I want to pray, there's something I've been noticing. I don't know if you've been noticing it, but it happened to me this morning as I was driving into the office in Silver Spring, Maryland. I was driving along and I noticed a horn, and that, you know, doesn't bother me. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. You hear people beeping their horns at different and various times. But then the horn, just a few moments later, beeped again. And then it beeped a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time. And finally, I noticed that the beeping was coming from behind me. Well, I didn't know what they were beeping at. I was going at the speed of traffic. There was a man right in front of me. I was following him at a safe distance. And they just continued to beep their horn. And I had no idea what was going on. And then they passed me, and you could tell that they were very upset. And I said, wow, I don't know why they were so upset. I couldn't go anywhere, and the person in front of me couldn't go anywhere. We were just going along with traffic like we could. And you know, it reminded me of the Bible verse, Matthew chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, take out Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And it says there, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Jesus talks about the last days, and he talks about how the love of many will grow cold. And the word picture painted by that, the word there, cold, grow cold, describes, if you've ever sat in front of a campfire or a fireplace fire and waited until the last coal extinguished, you know, you get that glowing ember until finally the glowing ember goes out and there's a little puff of smoke that rises up from that what was once a coal. And it got me thinking about, you know, when we start looking around at the news, it's become evident that we're living in that time where people have really grown quite angry and really without much love. Well, Jesus' answer to that, by the way, is found in Matthew 24, 14, where he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, friend, I'm going to pray for you today that in this world where love is being extinguished and people seem to be more and more angry, that you would be that witness of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came to save us and heal us of all of our physical maladies, our emotional, mental, and social maladies, and all of our spiritual distresses. And that's what I want to pray for you today, that you would be healed of those things and you would be a witness of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that the gospel, the news that your son Jesus came to this earth to live, is such good news that we can accept that good news and then we can live it and we can be a living example of your love in a world that's love has grown cold. I pray for each and every person today, Lord, that they would experience the healing of the gospel, that they would be healed of their physical maladies, that they would be healed of their mental, emotional, and social ills. And then for those individuals that have spiritual needs, that, Lord, you would meet them, that they would then be a living witness of your gospel message. Father in heaven, give us courage. May we see that hope, and may we live the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, friends. May you have a wonderful day. Back to you guys in the studio.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, we always enjoy praying together.
We have to take a short break now, but when we return, we have an inspiring devotional message just for you. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We are happy you stayed with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here from the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. Today, I want to start by showing you a photo that is one of my favorite photos with my dad. I am so proud here to be with him. I always felt so special in his arms. And the truth is, he would tell me often that he was proud of me, all the way till I was an adult. I was a true daddy's girl. And it's very special to know that there is a kinship and that your father is proud of you. Today, I want to analyze with you a story from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus would notice everyone. It would make everyone feel special. And today, we're going to talk about a story of a woman who was marginalized by society, and yet Jesus called her something very special. So come with me. Today, we are studying the topic, You Are Noticed. You are noticed. So let's go to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start with the story of a man and then a woman. See, the Gospel of Luke does something very interesting. It intercalates stories of men and women. Men were important in society, but women were not that important. And the Gospel of Luke shows that for Jesus, everyone was important and everyone was noticed and special to him, right? So let's go to Luke chapter 8. We start with the first story, verse 41. There came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. This is interesting because we are given the name of this person and the status. He's an officer of the synagogue, and most synagogues only had one officer. So he's a very special person, and everybody knows him. But he's falling at Jesus' feet, which was not a regular place where you would find a person that was esteemed in society, right? And so we are told in verse 42 why he was there. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. You know, it doesn't matter how important you are. If you have a child and if you have your girl that is in trouble and she's dying, you will do whatever you need to do to get help, right? So we're expecting Jesus to go with him because he's an important man and we want Jesus to help him. And his daughter that is 12 years old, she's dying and she's an only daughter. It makes me feel like I used to feel with my dad because I'm an only daughter. I'm an only child, actually. And this man is so desperate for his little girl that he goes to Jesus. Jesus starts going with him, but right there is another story that starts. And this is a woman. And the woman is not, we don't know her name. We just know her sickness. And this is what it says. The next verse, verse 43, as Jesus is going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, verse 43, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. It's interesting because we get this other story, like an interruption. And she's a woman, and we don't know her name. We know just that she was bleeding for 12 years. And have you noticed how interesting that she was sick as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive? Jairus' girl was 12 years old. This woman has had an hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. She has been sick as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. And you know, she does something that she was not supposed to do. She touches the fringe of Jesus' cloak. And it's interesting, if you read Leviticus 15, verses 19 to 31, you'll see the rules for women who were bleeding. They couldn't touch anybody or be touched by anybody. And this woman breaks the rule And of course, she's desperate because she's also dying. And she's nobody's little girl. There's no man that stands for her. You know, in that society, usually men spoke for the women, either husband or father or brother or son. No man is coming to speak for her. And she is so desperate that she does the unthinkable. She touches the cloak of Jesus. And we're told in verse 44, she immediately, her hemorrhage immediately stopped. So this is the miracle of healing, but she's going to get so much more than this. Jesus wants to do more for her than simply heal her of her disease. So on verse 45, Jesus stops everybody. The whole crowd that is going to Jairus' house, Jesus stopped them. Verse 45, and Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" How come Jesus does this? Why does Jesus call attention to this poor woman who is trying to be unnoticed? And Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." Jesus said, "No, someone did touch me, for I was aware the power had gone out of me." And this woman comes and falls also at his feet. But she's trembling because she did something she was not supposed to. Verse 47, when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice. Oh, I love that sentence. She had a doctorate in escaping notice. You know what I mean? And she saw that she had not escaped notice. She came trembling and fell down before him and declared in front of everybody why she had touched him. And then Jesus said something that changes the whole story. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He called her daughter. Daughter, she didn't have a daddy that came to speak for her, but Jesus said, "You are my daughter. I am your daddy." He invites her to his kinship, so much more than simply a healing. This poor woman who had all kinds of labels that she had been wearing, she was the sick one. Everybody knew that. But on top of that, she was the rejected one because nobody wanted to be seen with her, right? But on top of that, she was destitute because she had spent all her money with doctors. You know, maybe you're wearing a bunch of labels too. But today Jesus tells you, you are noticed. You're valued. You are my daughter. You are my son. And he calls her daughter and says, from now on, you can go in peace because your faith not only has healed you, has made you well. And the verb in Greek is made you whole, saved you. At that moment, there is a messenger from the other house and says, your daughter has died, because now we have a tale of two daughters. And Jesus said, just believe, she will be okay too. She also will be made well, made whole. I want to leave this with you. Jesus notices you. You are special to him. He not only heals you, but saves you, makes you whole, and tells you, you are noticed. You're not just one more person in the crowd, no matter how marginalized you may have been. Today, Jesus wants to tell you, you are my child. There's a beautiful verse in 1 John 3:1 that says, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And yes, that is what we are. That is what you are. You are God's child. And he says to you the same thing he said to this woman. Go in peace. Go in peace. Daddy is here. You have a new kinship. No matter who has rejected you, who has made you hide or has made you a wallflower, you are noticed by God. He values you, loves you. And overall today, remember this, you are noticed. You are noticed. And from now on, this is your identity. You are a daughter. You are a son of God. So go in peace.
What a blessing. Thank you so much.
And thank you, friends, for joining us today and spending this time with us. If you would like to learn more about our program or share with a friend or even watch some part of today's program again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will talk about avocados and almonds with our healthy friends from Loma Linda. Plus, we will have music, a short talk on the treasure lying right before our eyes, And John Bradshaw from It Is Written will also have the devotional thought for us. We can't wait to see you there.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the teachings of the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. And check out our website as well. We are sure you will be blessed.
Well, friends, we have to go now. But before we do, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
You know, wherever you go, whatever you face today, friends, be strong, be courageous. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. God has promised to be with you in the trials of the day. In fact, He has promised to be with you wherever you go. Only keep hold of His hand and you will succeed.
Amen. We've enjoyed our time with you this morning and we can't wait to see you again tomorrow morning. Enjoy your Pi Day as you remember the infinite one above all who stretches out His hand to you.
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we may have started this day feeling weak and discouraged. But today, Lord, you have lifted us up. You have told us to be strong and to be courageous. And with your strength, with your presence in our life, we know we can be. So we take that promise to heart. May you guide us today, Lord, in everything we face. May we face it with you. And we thank you for the hope that we have today. In Jesus' name, amen.